Amen. The grace that brings salvation, the Bible says, has appeared unto all men. It is God's desperate intention for every man that walks the world to appropriate that grace and to experience the miracle of regeneration. Our problems will be reduced if every member of our household worships Jesus. You'll be able to trace everything that happens in your life because there'll be no hindrance. Your life is going to take a turn that is so consistent. Most of the challenges that we have is weaved into the context of our families, because spiritually the Bible says that we shall be saved and the members of our household. It was Joshua that said, as for me and my house. So it means he is taking a decision that he did not consult his family members, but there will be, that decision is binding upon them. There are legalities, there's an infrastructure around family. It's critical. And we will never get tired talking to God about our families to bring about intervention, to change, to tip the scales. That it will come to pass that you will not be the only one praying for your family. You will not be standing alone. But many more people will be products of your intercession. Can we cry one more time and say, Lord, let 2022 become that year of intervention, that your mighty hand will visit with my family, and let those that are the connecting parameters for the kingdom of darkness suddenly turn to light. Suddenly. That the circuits that Satan has been depending upon to be able to transmit into the family cycle, let the absence of those functionaries that are partnered with him incapacitate the devil and make him lose his chances. Yes. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we are going to be the Lord's messengers. I have implicated my family. I have implicated my relatives. The Lord will be our God. It is unto his name we will resort in times of trouble. He will be our secret, our pillar. Lord, bring about an intervention. Let there be a miracle. 1,000 encounters. Let it be allocated to turn the hearts of men from darkness to light. In the name of Jesus. Ababoria tika bezotame. Raskofa la babaya kantelia. La dobo seke. Riskova la buru kasalia. Manta babora hisa makale boboria. Yalo bobo sika branta kuli masanteli. In Jesus. By the prayer we pray, if there's anyone that practices sorcery, witchcraft, astrology, that depends on the power of darkness to manipulate the destinies of people, as we pray like this, one of the things, there's feedback in those places. Yes, there's feedback. They are power to ascend is weak, is desperately weakened. Desperate. Hallelujah. And we will not stop until God's will finds expression. Lord, we ask that you come and take our hands and walk the journey of the Spirit with us in these few moments and sow in our hearts viable seeds that cannot die, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Now, before I go into today's lecture, there is a scripture that most believers quote, and they quote it carelessly. I'd like us to pay a close attention to that scripture. It's in the book of Numbers, chapter 23, beginning from verse 19. We will take some time to study this scripture so that we can understand its accurate application. Numbers 23. Hallelujah. Sometime earlier today in on our family WhatsApp Plus platform, somebody extracted a high point in a preacher's sermon delivery, and he put it on the platform. And I saw that the preacher was exploiting this scripture to say what is not in the scripture. Numbers chapter 23. God is not a man that he should lie. This is Balaam speaking. Balaam the sorcerer. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Had he said it and shall not do it, or had he spoken and shall not make it good, behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He had not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither had he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord, his God, is with him, and the shout of the king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He had, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. This is the scripture, verse 23. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. I know you know that scripture overhead. There is no enchantment against Jacob. There is no divination against Israel. First of all, if you want to understand the mind of God using the agency of scripture, there are a few rules that you need to subscribe to. Rules of interpretation. First among the rules is the rule of context. Second rule is whether or not the promise you are trying to claim is conditional or unconditional. First of all, we are going to use the rule of context, so that because the truth of God does not exist in a vacuum. There is a scriptural environment that contains conditionalities upon which several proclamations of God are verity. And if you take that verse of scripture out of its ecosystem and you are using it as the basis of your conviction on a certain matter, and it is out of sync with the conditionalities that make it efficacious, you will be a victim of the kind of stuff that Satan attempted to do to Jesus, because Satan has the capacity to quote scripture. I have met some warlocks, and their dexterity in scripture was a marvel, was amazing. May the Lord give you insight. My journey has been long and full of sorrow. I've seen a little, and I think I qualify to make some statements based on the price I paid. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. Now, so you don't take a scripture out of a context. I hope you know there is a scripture that says stolen waters is sweet. If you take it out of context, it might look like God is supporting a thief.
that there is some profit that is attached to theft. And everyone in church can be therefore enjoined to explore theft once in a while because stolen waters. You see, that scripture finds expression in a habitat. There is a community of scriptures in which it is found. Truth does not exist in a vacuum. Are you still with me? And so please, stay with me. All right. So we are going to look at the context. This is a sorcerer. A sorcerer that a king went to contract. And the reason for which he contracted the sorcerer was because he came highly recommended. There are several people that work for darkness, and there are several abilities that are operational in their priesthood because of either the kind of spirit that they serve or their loyalty to the spirit that they serve. They have some level of abilities that they are known for. Because the only way that spirit will have worship, will have memory, will have advertisement of itself is when he manifests himself through the priesthood that supports his presence, his worship and memory. You might find some people that work for darkness and their specialty is that they can kill. So if you want someone dead and you go to contract those people, they have several authentic ways by which they can end life. So it is because of their capacity in that area that they come recommended. In the case of Balaam that we are talking about, he had a specialty. And the specialty he had was that if he blesses according to his altar, the person is blessed. If he curses according to his altar, the person that he has inflicted with that injury is cursed. So that's his selling point. That's the reason for which people will come trying to seek his services, because it was said concerning him that he who he blesses is blessed. He who he curses is cursed. So that's his selling point. And that's the reason why he was contracted in this case. He's been prospering in his spiritual missions before this time, until he had an occasion to be contracted to come bring a curse on God's people. Are you with me? Now, the scripture I just read to us is a scripture that is a sorcerer's comment when he was under the inspiration of sorcery. It's not a prophet's declaration. You don't like me anymore. I think I need to leave you. Many times when I come here, I want to say something, but people are sad. They say, stay with me. You know, the other day I had some spare time, so I went to Facebook Messenger, where the messages they send through our Facebook channels accumulate. So I was just reading through anyone I can reply. Then I saw one guy. He showed up. And the guy said several things. If you say anything, insult me, say your father, you are terrible. No, there's no problem. But don't quote scripture. I'm a guardian in that place. Don't quote. So he said, you say so. Have you considered this scripture? Hi. I'm still fasting. So because I'm fasting, I don't have an answer for the person. Let's finish fasting first. He's here, we bring his question. Then you will see how foolish people are. When they read the Bible, when they read chemistry, they come with their brain. But when they read the Bible, it's darkness that they come with. And you want to secure the mind of God? What the guy was coming to the platform to challenge me about that was that, who told me that it's impossible for someone to be born again in the womb? Can you see? Meanwhile, let me show you the scripture that he quoted. Just please stay with me. Can you stay with me? Uh-huh. Who is there in the book of Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5? That's what he quoted for me. That have I considered? Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. You see, the problem was that he did not consider the ecosystem where that truth was found. Can we check the ecosystem? We need to consider the ecosystem. And then you will now find out the meaning of Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 is not related to the possibility of being born again in the womb. It has nothing to do with it. But the young man is not aware of the fact that he is desperately ignorant. He needs Jesus in the night. And he's coming to argue. All right, let's put this scripture within the context. What is God saying? Because this one is not a sorcerer speaking. This one is God. Are you there? All right, so can we begin from verse 1? Jeremiah. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anatot in the land of Benjamin. I don't have time to press that. Don't have time to show you the priest in Anatot that failed, for which God had to call Jeremiah to replace him. Right? And that's the reason why some of those details are given, so that you can trace it. If God wants someone from your family, if your generation failed, he will still track somebody in the generation of your children. You could see that there was something sovereign about God having a priest rise from Anatot. To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah. Still talking about the prophet. Are you with me? Son of Amon, king of Judah. And in the 15th year of his reign. That is the time of revival. So Jeremiah had the capacity to receive the word of the Lord when there was revival. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, the king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. Jeremiah had the capacity to receive the word of the Lord in the time of transition. Many people can hear God during revival, but only few can hear God during transition, when spirit things are no longer reigning. It means the person has his own inbuilt spiritual life. He has his own economy in the fountain of grace. So his own operation is not seasonal. He brings forth fruit in season and out of season. He has found a taproot. He has found a place where the borehole strikes the fountainhead. So Jeremiah was not just a wait and take prophet. It was someone that had a robust relationship with God. And that's why the word of the Lord was with him in times of revival and in times of transition. So you will notice that he was one of the few prophets that could prophesy about the damnation that will come upon Israel, because Israel was experiencing prosperity and they had forsaken the laws, the ways of God, and he was warning the nation. And everybody felt that what he was saying was sacrilege until every word that he spoke came to pass. Then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. I need to explain this to us, but before I do that, I need to go to another scripture. Romans. Are you there? I'm just trying to show you how to interpret. If you want to know the word of God, what God says, and your medium is scripture, then you need to understand the ecosystem, habitat, context. So you will need to read a lot of verses in order for you to understand one verse of interest. It's one verse that is your issue. You like that verse. You understand it within the habitat of scripture, the environment of the scriptures in which it is found. The meaning it has in that habitat, it is accurate meaning. If you believe it that way, it will work for you. Is that clear? Okay. I said open to Romans. Are you there? Romans chapter 8, verse number 29. Romans 8, 29. Technical man. Now, stay with me. Are you with me? All right, so. He said, for whom he did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be first son among many brethren. Stay with me. See, our God does not operate from the standpoint of time. He operates from a studio in eternity. Our God doesn't have a beginning. He doesn't need heaven to survive. Heaven needs him to survive. He's the definition of existence itself. One of the proofs of the fact that our God exists is you, because he's the one that upholds you. It's the breath of life that he released that is the reason why you can still carry this sack of earth as body and walk around. There is nothing alive that doesn't need God to survive. Even Satan needs the breath of God for him to still be in existence. The Bible says that if God decides to withdraw his breath, everything will disintegrate and it will be like what it was before the Spirit of God began to brood upon the face of the waters. You don't know how dependent you are on God. Whether you believe him or not, you need him to survive. This God that we are talking about, the Bible says, he foreknew you. I need to. It's only God that has that capacity to know entities that he wanted to deploy into time. He knew them as seeds of eternity. They existed in his mind. Right? So, and your foreknowing and the predestination that God, that we went through, because we went through a studio, God foreknew us and God routed your manifestation that you'll be on earth in 2022. He programmed all of that from the studio. That you come from an Igbo family, you'll be the fifth born. You'll be born in 1986. It was part of your predestination, so that you can have an appearance upon the face of the earth consistent with a dream that is hoping that you awake unto and prosecute upon the face of the earth. So he knew you as a seed of eternity before you were formed in your mother's womb, and he arranged, programmed your arrival with a view and with a hope that you will come alive to the purpose of your pilgrimage through this time, and you will fulfill it and prosecute it with all faithfulness. So this scripture gives us an insight into what happened in the studio before time. Now go to the next verse. Let me give you the whole layout. Next verse. All right. Moreover, whom he did predestinate. So your foreknowing and your predestination took place before time. Are you with me? The Bible says, those he predestinate, them he also called. Your calling, your predestination, your foreknowing, your calling took place before time. It is justification that was the first organic experience of that which took place before time that happens in time. Justification. That's when you are latched onto the program that existed before you were formed in your mother's womb. It starts with your justification. Your justification is justification is a legal register that speaks about your being declared righteous before the God of justice. So it is the work that Jesus did upon the cross and the substitutionary potential of what he did that creates a legal premise for your justification. And now you've been declared righteous by the justice system of heaven because of what Jesus did on the cross. That took place in time. That cannot take place in eternity. Where did it take place? Yeah. So those he called, he justified, and those he justified, what happened to them? So the goal of your justification is that he wants to bring you into glory, and that glorification will take place beyond time in the future. See, the thing started before time. There's an aspect of it that will take place during your pilgrimage in time. Justification, and the goal of God for you in time is that he wants to make you conformed to the image of his son. He wants you to mature into Christ likeness. It's just like I give you a Honda, and then we change the engine and put a Mercedes-Benz engine in the Honda. The performance of the Honda is going to be Benz performance. So we put the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead in you. Your performance is supposed to be like the performance that Jesus performed, because everything that Jesus did, he did by the power of the Holy Spirit when he walked in his suit of flesh. Exactly. So the expectation is that your life will now come into conformity with the image of Christ. You will not operate like man, you will operate like Jesus, because the resources that made Jesus do the things he did have been made available to you. So your life is going to be an expression of the victories of Jesus in this generation. If death could not hold him captive, if poverty could not hold him captive, when all the capacities of the grace of God on your inside is fully deployed, your life is supposed to be a mirror image of the victories that were secured in Calvary. It should come into conformation with the image of Christ. Is that clear? Now, look at this picture. So your predestination, your foreknowing is first. Foreknowing, when he knew you as a seed of eternity. Right? Then your predestination is that he preordained you to walk a certain path. For me, the path that God ordained me to walk in order for me to achieve Christ-likeness, which is his goal, is the path of the calling of an apostle. So he has ordained a path, preordained a path for each and every one of us. And that path is the path that has all the challenges that you need for you to seek out the grace of God and become everything that God wants you to be and achieve Christ-likeness. So our achieving Christ-likeness is consistent with our unique paths that God has ordained us to walk. Is that clear? That path has the challenges you need. It has the problems that will make you seek the grace of God. It has everything that is required to make you yield to God enough for God to win you and you become his exhibit, the exhibit of the same superior authority and life that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And when he has accomplished that in this life, making your life an advertisement of the victory of the cross in the presence of demons and devils and principalities and powers, they are totally incapable about your life, because what you are operating with, it will overcome death in the first instance. So when he achieves that with your life, he is bringing you into glory. The destiny of man is glorification. And what Satan did to make us unworthy of glory was that he introduced sin. So for all our sin, falling short of what? Of the glory of God. And Jesus is the first example that humanity could inherit glory, because Jesus died with his human body. Jesus resurrected with a body that could no longer be subject to death. Are you here? His resurrected body was capable of eating physical food. And Jesus glorified was, he ascended into heaven with that body. And Apostle Paul was making reference to Jesus. Jesus in heaven, and he called him the man, Jesus Christ. So Jesus happens to be in heaven as a man. As an example of the fact that the dream of glorification for humankind has already, the example for that dream is Jesus. So if you ask me, how do you know you'll be glorified? I say, look at the example of Jesus. That's my destiny. I'm going to be glorified as a man. You get that? So glorification is in the future. Can we now go back to the young man scripture? The young man scripture says, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew you. What is that? That is foreknowing. Oh my, you are not with me. Are you seeing that? Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew you. Before thou camest forth, I sanctified and ordained you as a prophet to the nation. That is predestination. That scripture that the young man is using to as a basis of challenging me that, somebody is born again in the womb here. It has nothing to do with salvation. The scripture has to do with foreknowing and predestination. Can you see how ignorant the young man is? Because he doesn't study the Bible in context. He makes it mean what he wants. And he says hallelujah at the end of the day. Now, this attempt is just to show you the foolishness in the young man's question. I will answer his question. I will give him another scripture that seems to be more suitable. I'll borrow him. Do you understand that? Then I will answer the question and show you why, even with that scripture that I'll borrow the young man, it is impossible after the cross for someone to be born again in his mother's womb. It is a fraud. Exactly. Watch my knee, my mentor. He says, you must be scripturally right and spiritually right. Not one of them. If you are spiritually right and you are not scripturally right, you are using witchcraft. Because the Holy Ghost cannot operate outside of the Logos. Exactly. All right, so I just showed you it is possible for people to be quoting scriptures and they don't know what it means. Don't take the scripture out of its habitat. Can we do the same thing for this controversial scripture that I just brought now? There is no, I know you've quoted it before. There's no enchantment against Jacob. Marakabakabaraba. Now, there is a product that we have. It's a Bible study product. The name of that product is What the Bible Says. Anytime there's controversy in the body of Christ, we bring that product out. Bring the issue of controversy, and we do a detailed analysis of that scripture in the light of the Word of God in order to end the controversy. We have gathered a few issues that we are going to use to do 1 week of Bible study sometime this year. What the Bible says. So wait for it. You see, the Lord has given us as a ministry authority in this area. The area we don't have authority, we will not dabble into it. But this one, the area of scripture. And I'm not boasting. I have license in this area to set things in order as it has to do with the mind of God enshrined in the scripture. So can we do the scripture of interest tonight? There is no enchantment. This man is under the influence of the spirit of divination. Are you there? It's not the Holy Ghost he's prophesying by. He's prophesying by something else. And part of the utterance he gave was that there is no enchantment against Jacob. There is no divination against Israel. Now, listen. According to the man's testimony, can we go back? This is the man's testimony. Verse 20, let's see the man's testimony. He, even though he's a sorcerer, he was held so powerfully under the authority of God, and the things that he spoke were the things that God allowed him to speak. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he had blessed, and I cannot reverse it. So even though he's a sorcerer, he came under the intense influence of the authority of the Lord, and the Lord determined what he said and what he did not say. That was the kind of authority that was at work when scriptures were written. Are you with me? You are not with me. That kind of authority was what was available when scriptures were written. The people did not have the liberty to choose their thoughts. It was not creativity. I think the closest to what took place in the hearts and in the lives of those that wrote scripture was that they received dictations from God. Clear-cut dictation, not the product of human intelligence. It was God possessed them, limited the range of their thoughts, the range of their articulation, so that they could take direct dictations from him, making the scriptures the purest representation of the counsel of God upon the face of the earth. If I write a book, no matter how powerful that book is, it doesn't equal the authority of the scripture because of the dealings that God had when he was putting this book together. You can trust the scripture. And anything we do as apostolic people must be within the scope of allowance of scripture. Scripture is our context. It's our habitat. It's our operating system. Right? So we need to exalt scripture more than general overseer. There are many general overseers today that are people revere much more than scripture. That's idolatry. Satan has taken over already. And part of what you need to do as a leader in the body of Christ is to model the fact that you yourself are under the authority of scripture so that that is not in doubt. And if there's any kind of title that your members will give you that contradicts this matter, you need to kill it yourself intentionally. Let me give you an idea. I know you don't like me, but this is my job. I'm called to do this. I'm called. I have grace in this area. Pastor Chooks, you are a pastor of one of the leading churches in Makurdi. If I come to visit your church and your members begin to say, God of Pastor Chooks, I will call you. Because the Bible says scripture. Hope you know scripture. Scripture says that God will be called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob forever. They knew, scripture anticipated the arrival of Pastor Chooks. They didn't add his God of Pastor Chooks. Do you understand that? I know you have said that God of, you are already in idolatry. Because you have gone outside of scripture. It sounds good. It sounds, wonderful. It sounds creative. But what you are doing is not allowed in scripture. Because his name had been defined already. That he will be called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How? So there's no provision for me to now, for someone to add me. Because of what? Scripture. You're already sad, so. Because you don't, this year I want to teach you the Bible. It's my calling. I am graced for this matter. Yes, I had to go 20 years of discipline to be given the authority to do this kind of job. 20 years of spiritual discipline. Exactly. So there's nothing like God of Jesus. Well, the Lord will help us. I'm just showing you scripture. Scripture has its own will. It has its own logic. Someone came the other day and said, the disciples were in one accord that you will soon receive your under accord. You see, the man has gone outside of You will need an idol to make that meaning out of that scripture. The scripture has its own mind. It has its own logic. Can we? Oh my God. And gullible Christian believer, mighty crowd. Amen. Hallelujah. They never knew the man had gone outside of scripture. I'm tired of saying amen for lies. Let's go back to the scripture and smell the coffee and wake up. So this man was under intense influence and he did not even determine his actions. He was not responsible for his actions. It was obvious that there was someone superior to him that was giving him commandments. Are you here? And the commandment that he was given was to bless. His altars of enchantments and his altars of divination did not produce results. Because there was a government that sat on the shrine area and determined the current and the flow of wisdom that will come out of the oracle. This is a situation where God arrests a sorcerer and make him his mouthpiece because there's nobody to speak for God in that place. You know God is suffering? Balaam is the example. Balaam was like a transistor radio that could change channel. How many of you know a transistor radio? You can tune it and it goes on FM 96.5. Okay. You don't like my talk. Let's go back. All right. So in the context of this scripture, you will find out that this utterance, there is no enchantment. So we want to assume, therefore, because the sorcerer was under the government of God, the influence of God, and God determined the things he said, we can take his utterances to be the mind of God. Okay? Now, let us check his utterances and analyze it properly. Number one, the utterance, there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel, is not an unconditional statement. It is conditional. So it's not everyone that can quote it. And I'm going to show you the condition. And you'll find out that because the average believer doesn't fulfill the condition, the altars still manipulate them. Meanwhile, they are under manipulation, they are quoting this scripture and say, hey, that is denial, because faith does not deny the mountain. Faith does not what? Jesus was the one that said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you will say unto this mountain. Faith acknowledges the mountain and addresses what? The mountain. Someone is in abject poverty, is renting houses in the city and also renting in the village. Meanwhile, he's confessing that he's not poor. You are poor. Let's begin your problem with acknowledging. He's renting in the village, he pays rent. In fact, that is a generational demonic challenge that needs just the attention of Jesus in himself. Renting a house where in the village and in the city. You'll be running to the village to upset rent and trusting God for rent in town. This is the condition. Can we go to 21? That's when you see the condition of that utterance. He has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. So Jacob fulfilled the requirement of alignment. Jacob was in right standing with God. Jacob had nothing in her that God would be angry about. So Jacob had fulfilled the requirement of receiving the protection of God. That's number one. That utterance is conditional. You are supposed to operate within the harmony of the requirements of God in order for you to receive this level of covering. Because of the level of covering, the evidence of the level of covering they were enjoying was that God, even their God, disarmed the sorcerer, made his altars not to be able to speak. The spirits that visit after sacrifices were detained and they could not visit the altar to give him intelligence. And then God decided to be the voice that speaks from that platform. And the reason was because he had not found perverseness in Israel. He had not found iniquity in Jacob. There was a requirement that they had fulfilled. And as long as they were within the scope of that fulfillment, they were invincible. That's number one. Number two. Just showing you that that utterance is what? Condition. Someone can write on a bed of fornication and say there's no enchantment against it. No divination. That divination doesn't work for me. He doesn't know he's outside of alignment. He's naked. He's without covering. I've had to battle. I'm part of the struggle. I've had to battle with sicknesses, with terrible demonic sickness. I know sicknesses that are medical and the ones that are demonic. We've had to battle with it in the lives of several people. Because some conditions were not met. The people were exposed. And in some cases, we actually came late. The thing was advanced. All we could pray for was that, okay, since it's like this, and the person will go, can you add him more years so that he can clean up? We have all kinds of situations that we have had to deal with. This utterance is conditional. Now, if you are a Bible student, you will know that in many cases, the fact that we have a new chapter doesn't change the flow of thought. And originally, the Bible was not written with chapters and verses. It was 100 years after the full scriptures were put together that the theologians added chapters and verses for the purpose of reference. So if you want to be a master Bible teacher, try to read your Bible not paying attention to chapters. Then you will see the flow of thought across chapters. And you'll be able to know which chapter or which verse is a stem and which one is a branch. Then when you teach the scriptures, you will teach like one with authority, like an original expositor. Because you understand the rhythm of the flow of thought. When you go to the book of Numbers, chapter 24, this reaction still continues. This man is still under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Then he reveals to us what exactly was responsible for his inability to inflict a curse on Israel. First of all, he had spoken by inspiration that there was no sin in the camp. That's one. Making that provision a condition. Is that clear? And then secondly, he shows us in verse 24 the reason for which it was impossible for the enchantments to work. The sorcerer was altogether arrested by God. So that prayer we pray that Baba should arrest enchanters is valid scriptural prayer. And we are going to pray such prayers tonight. Do you like that prayer? Arrest. I've seen it before. A woman, a sorcerer, has a shrine in front of her house. And the second wife in the house is born again. The first wife is, her God is in the shrine. So they had a quarrel and she entered into a shrine that before nightfall, you'll be a victim of my power. And this Christian woman waited for her to go to the shrine, then came by the side of the shrine and spoke to the idol. Idol! This your member is lying. So arrest a member. And she was arrested in that shrine for 12 hours. The woman gave instruction to the idol to arrest its member. I've seen it live. Oh, you grew up in Makodi? There's no action here. Shrine. When I say shrine, I know it. I know how it looks like. My people do it. Almost in every compound, you find their God. So if they say, you will see, don't think it's an empty threat. The person is going to the shrine to send you a message. But if you are in alignment, there is no enchantment against Jacob. So you can be aware that people like us, the sentences they have released in shrines. The reason why we are alive is because there's no enchantment. The real one, not the one you quote, there's no enchantment against Jacob. Let's go on with the flow of thought. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek for enchantments. He stopped the enchantment game because the entire platform was seized by God. The spirits that were being invited by the sacrifices were arrested. I don't have time to show you. There's a prayer you can pray and someone that is in a shrine can see God and that will lead to his salvation. I can show you evidences in scripture. Isaiah chapter 19 is a good picture of that possibility. The spirit that is supposed to come is arrested and God himself is the one that now comes to the shrine. So that's what happened to this man here. And when Balaam saw that he pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as at other times, to seek enchantment. There was no need for him to raise any altar to the demons that he was serving. He decided to be quiet now, to know what God wanted to show him. And God led him to set his face toward the wilderness. Then he saw the secret of why it was impossible to curse them. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. When he saw what God wanted him to see, then the Spirit of God came upon him. What is it that God wanted him to see? Well, he wanted him to see how Israel was abiding in tents according to their tribe. Now, let me give you an insight. This was how they were abiding. And I need you to understand that Balaam and Balak, they were on the mountaintop and they were overlooking Israel in the valley. Hey, are you there? Do you know this kind of stuff that they do when they want to do World Cup and 2,000 people are on the pitch and then they do one design. They just say, USA. You read it. The people know how to arrange themselves and they form a pattern. And that pattern is something that you know about. You can read it. Sometimes they form a Coke bottle. It's called calisthenics. So what is taking place here is calisthenics. Because the guy was looking at them from the mountaintop. Then he saw the pattern of their abiding. And right there from the mountaintop, he knew that this pattern of how they are abiding in the valley was according to their tribes. Now, if there's an ambush on Makurdi and where all the believers are moving towards Boko, if we want to camp for the night, do you think there's going to be any pattern around our camping? But for Israel, it was not so. Moses gave them details of everything, even how to camp. Even how to camp that is reflective of dimensions of God in the realm of the supernatural. So the sorcerer man looked into the wilderness and saw Israel, the way Israel was camped. They were camped according to their tribe. Now, the pivot behind the design of their camping was the ark. Right? So this is the ark. So the first tent will be here. It's the tent of the firstborn in the first tribe. Reuben is the first tribe. The firstborn of Reuben, his tent is here. Second born here. This one here. Then second one. Second tribe here. First tent is here. So the pattern, the fulcrum behind the pattern was the ark. And that was how they were spread out. And you could see that there was a pattern in their being spread out. Now, in your Christian life, what is the center of the pattern? If your life is without pattern, the life of the Christian, the pattern that he lives his life is supposed to be determined by his altar. Everything, the sacrifices he's willing to take is so that his altar can be viable. The reason why he may not subscribe to fornication is not because he doesn't have the instruments to fornicate. The reason is because it's going to impact on the benefit of his altar. Is there anything at all in your life that constrains you from being like every other person? That thing is the description of your civilization. For the Israelites, it's what they are. And for the believer, it must be the altar. Oh, you shout at him, you lie at him, and he doesn't feel like defending himself. That's what the Spirit in him will not have him do. And if he obeys the Spirit in him, his relationship with the Holy Ghost on his altar is robust. There was something that was behind the arrangement. And as long as they maintained that pattern, it was impossible for their ranks to be infiltrated by strange forces. The pattern by which they settled was reflective of realities in the dimensions of God, making it possible for those dimensions that they reflected in the natural to be covered by the realms that they featured according to the patterns that they displayed. You will see someone that is sealed by the Holy Ghost because his life has been set up in a certain pattern that is occasioned by his intercourse with God. As long as he maintains that pattern, he's sealed. And for him, there is no enchantment. The first time when we were employed in the oil industry, they took us for training. A very intelligent man came and saw us. Young graduates, full of enthusiasm. And he was a key player in the oil industry. And he told us that, as an advice now, he said, oil business is oily. Now, that was the first advice. What he was saying was that he's expecting us in the next 12 years to become very corrupt because the terrain is like that. If you are working in the mines, when you come back home, your garments will be smelling chemicals. Oil business is oil. But because some of us had altars and we placed a premium on the altars that we had over and above the systems that were established in the places that we worked, we survived it. And the oil did not stain us because there was something that was responsible for our orientation. The time came in the line of duty where people felt I was a Jew. So nobody wants to work with me. And you are not allowed to work alone because I think to bring one vessel of cargo into Nigerian waters that time was about 5 billion naira. 5 billion naira. So a lot of money was involved because of the level of risk. Our agency those days would not allow one person to work on one vessel. Just to ensure that he doesn't carry too much risk on his head. Because as you are going to work, they will submit your name in Ministry of Finance, submit your name in EFCC, they'll submit your name in some of the places. So if anything goes wrong, you will receive visitations from Ministry of Finance, you will receive visitations from Minister of Petroleum, you receive visitations from EFCC. And the visitations from EFCC, they are long. They are long. They will take your fingerprint and take this, your side handprint. And those kind of videos that they snap for criminals in America, the one that you stand like this and you stand like this, you will snap a lot of them in EFCC. So in order to quell the risk, to reduce the risk, more than one person is sent. Because someone that has paid 5 billion to bring cargo in, he can pay 100 million for his deal to be. It's time-based. You know, if he clears his stuff and takes it for distribution, he has sold, he has gotten back his money. He can do that 4 times, 5 times in 1 month. So it's time-based. So he can turn over his money 5 times. And that's huge. That's huge. It's impossible. So he can come with sack of dollars so that you can just fast track. But you know what? I had an altar. And the altar determined my orientation. There was something that I loved more than money. And that thing determined my attitude towards money. There's something I love more than fair ladies. And it will determine my attitude towards them. Something I love more than fame. It will shape my attitude. And the guy saw from the mountaintop and saw that there was a pattern in the way they abide. And that was the reason why it was impossible for demonic spirits to break their ranks. They were sealed because they mirrored dimensions of heaven. Once upon a time, the House of Rep had to screen all of us, our staff, because there were leakages and transactions. So if you have ever signed any document that has to do with bulk entry of products into the country, you will stand trial before the House of Representatives. You know the reason why I was not invited? No transaction I signed was in doubt. Debit, credit, in and out, balanced. No one. Now, how would it have looked like if you see me on television? I'm before a panel. I know you will not be here. There was something that determined the orientation. He turned his face towards the wilderness and he saw Israel abiding in her tents according to their tribes. I hope and I pray that your altar will be strong enough to influence your priorities, to influence your life. As you begin to grow in the ways of the watchman, many things begin to lose value before your face. And something begins to gain much more value before your heart, which is your relationship with Jesus. When I wake up from sleep and my eyes pop open, the first thing I think about is Jesus. Why? The Holy Ghost inside of me, he leaves a song that I sing even in my sleep. And when I wake up, it's like a perpetual continuum. There's an activity that was going on before I woke up and I plug in. I don't see the dichotomy between night and days. It's a flow of a perpetual stream. Oh my God. And when you live in such harmony, it is impossible for enchantment, for divination, to have any impact on your life. Don't quote scriptures and think that they exist without conditions. Every good thing that God wants to do in your life has a condition that makes it efficacious. Because what we are running with God is a covenant. You have your own side of the agreement, and God has his own side of the agreement. It is foolishness for you to think that without accomplishing and furnishing your own side, you have access to what God has said he would do. So I've seen people that they are not conscious, they are not careful about what they have with God. Quote that scripture recklessly and live in presumption. And under the circumstances that they dwell, that God will come out of his hiding place to provide security, to provide support. I have seen believers that were victims of enchantment and divination. And I told you, I've been part of the struggle. Since the Bible is our authority, I need to show you other circumstances where enchantment worked against Israel. Maybe that will give you an understanding that their level of alignment in the harmony of God at that time was not quite like what it was. And in those days, enchantment, divination, things that were done from altars affected their outcome, Israel. Exactly. One example. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. 2 Kings chapter 3. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through even unto the king of Edom, but they could not. 27. Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him as a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their own land. In that scripture, we see that demonic priesthood and sacrifice created an impact that stopped Israel. The same Israel. So I've seen believers that are victims of altars, victims of spiritual warfare, strange sacrifices. I've seen it. I didn't start ministry in the city. I started in the village. So I know the difference. When we wear suit today and tie and deceive people that there's no judgment against this, I make them, most of them you are preaching to abound. I've seen it. So I started my own ministry in the woods where people boasted in the name of Satan. That was when I knew that holiness was not an option. Holiness was not an option. Other people could be loose, not me. I knew I was crafted as to war. So I began to put myself in alignment long time ago.
Psalms 119, verse 67 to 71. Quickly, we'll end with that scripture. Then you will see. 119, verse 67 to 71. Can the guy on the console help me? Before I was afflicted, I went astray. He's telling a testimony. But now I've kept thy word. There was a time. He's telling us the story of his peril. What's the story? Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Next verse. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. 71. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Sometimes it is for good reasons that God allows affliction. Affliction is a teacher. He opens your eye. Oh, it means I'm doing something wrong. Can we pray? Two prayers. Before we attack the altar, I know you want us to attack altars and all of that. We will do that. But I want to pray one prayer and say, God will help us. Will give us a very deep test for holiness. A deep test to walk with Him. A strong test to be within the framework of His harmony. A strong test to be like Him. To satisfy the longing that is upon His heart. To please Him. Before Jesus did any miracle, on the day of His accreditation, God the Father came and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Did no miracle, but He lived under the government of God, and everything that the Father wanted Him to do, that was what He did. A life of harmony. Before we talk about your altar, we need to talk about you. You, because God will accept you first before He accepts your offering. God will accept you first before He accepts the demands that you are making on heaven. God will accept you first before He accepts the sacrifice that you are bringing to move His hand. There must be this desire for blazing holiness. Blazing. Holiness is a way of the priest. That's what makes them powerful. As long as their covenant of righteousness is not broken, then there is no enchantment against Jacob. Can we pray? That appetite to be with on the same page with God, that appetite to walk in purity, to walk in purity, to walk in purity. I cannot hear your prayer. To walk in purity. To walk in purity. Your body is not for sale. The moment you exercise the abilities of your body outside of the prescriptions of God, you will begin to feel empty, uncovered. Your covering lifts. You are exposed. The act of immorality was for few minutes, 20 minutes, 5 minutes, but the impact is going to live on. If you don't know how to restitute your position quickly, Satan might sting you.
Let there be this desire. This consuming desire to walk in purity, to walk in holiness. Oh, I am your sanctuary. Igama masukle preskuti mandalia. My body is your sanctuary. My body is your sanctuary. Purify me like gold, so I might be bold to say, my body is your sanctuary. My body is your sanctuary. My body is your sanctuary. Purify me like gold, so I might be bold to say, my body is your sanctuary. My body is your sanctuary. My body is your sanctuary. Purify me like gold. Purify me like gold. Just say, my body is your sanctuary. Can you say, my body is your sanctuary. Your sanctuary. Purify me like gold. So I might be bold.
So I might be bold to say
my body is your sanctuary.
One more time now. My body.
My body.
Yes.
Is your sanctuary.
Journey deeper into priesthood, the Holy Spirit will begin to will make you more sensitive. The things you used to ignore before, you will lie and you will not lose your peace. When you start going into priesthood, you need to transact with God, you need to partner with God, you need to be, the prayer you are praying is the reason why God will move. When you have gotten to that level of partnership, the Holy Spirit will become more sensitive. When you lose your anger, he will say, no, this is not me. If you are willing and you obey as he's making you sensitive, you apologize, you do all of that, because you want to keep that relationship. The relationship will begin to grow. The intimacy will increase. Sometimes you will not even complain and say, God is... His demands are too much. Don't worry, it's a face. When you perfect that one, you enter into another place. As you are praying, you are seeing the effect of the prayer. As you are praying, Satan is sleeping. Sometimes when you just show up, Satan will just go. Because of alignment. I know what I'm talking about. Satan lives without a fight because he knows that this man has paid the price of intimacy. And through him, God has a weapon. Went to preach in Warri. The power of God began to move and witches began to speak. The first thing they said was,
Where you come up from?
Because they have checked their data bank. There is nobody in the vicinity that can unsettle them like this.
You know, come up from here. Oh. They go. Come, they go.
Ika Makoria.
I came early for the meeting. I saw people coming in. I saw one man that had a very beautiful kind of walker.
Was they designed it very well. When prayer started, I saw the walker up.
Demons had left. You become a law enforcement agent. You can change things.
Things that have been for 12 years. Because this man is, he sold out to God. Satan doesn't have any share in his life.
No share.
In a dream, someone will come to me and say, okay, you are going to empty your account. Then I'll be asking, how will I distribute it? Say, give this one, 1 million, give this one, and empty your account. So I wake up and it's clear to me and I begin to implement. I don't think about it. I implement first before I think. Because when you think about it, doubt will come, analysis. It be quick. If it's money, be quick to disburse first. So I've lived like that. And I've seen abundance. I've seen abundance. I now realize that if God is asking you to give, there is a harvest. He wants to move you into that harvest. I've seen abundance. Beyond what I need, I've seen it. Then he comes again and says, give. That obedience is a sacrifice. Just like your prayer is a sacrifice, obedience is a sacrifice. When you start obeying, that's when you know how God fights. He fights by giving instructions. Oh, you don't know how to fight? He said he will teach your fingers to fight. He will teach your hands to war. He gives you instructions. Foolish instructions. Very foolish. There's a flood that covered everywhere. He said, remove your shoe, your sandal, walk into it barefooted, and ask the flood to go back to where it came from. You know, it doesn't make sense. And then you do that and go. Before you come back, 6 hours later, the flood has moved. Yes. Then you begin to pat. You will see strange things that you don't believe. And that's why we can't say everything on the pulpit. What God can achieve with one man that is in alignment? Oh! It's impossible. By one prophet, he brought a people out of slavery. There were 12 deities that guarded Egypt. And the deities of Egypt were not as powerful as one Moses. And that's why in all Israel today, Moses is the SI unit of a prophet. That's the standard. Can we pray today? Your life can do much. Your life can achieve much. Your life is an answer. It's an answer. Make me that answer in my generation, in my time. Yes, I'm willing to bow. I'm willing to submit. Only make me that answer that you want me to be. Can you talk to him? I want to be an answer to Cameroon. I want to be an answer to Nigeria. I want to be an answer to Kenya. Anything it will take, any level of obedience that is needed for me to be equipped with the grace that can renovate nations. You become a weapon. A weapon. You can change things in partnership with God. I lolo me saliko mamaya. A practical instrument for use me now. Lord, make me a practical instrument for you. Use me, oh Lord.
make me a practical instrument for you. Use me, oh Lord. Oh Lord, make me a practical instrument for you. Use me, oh Lord. Make me, Lord, Lord, make me a practical instrument for you. Use me, oh Lord. Make me, Lord. Sing it one more time, Lord. Yes, I love you for this, Ima. I'm on the shore. Oh, make me a practical instrument for you. Use me, Lord, make me.
Labro seketamina brantala, baboria skibo bokoteminale. Mahanso seli makedia merasco. Oh, yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus. You hear that there's kidnap in your city, and you go to God and say, no, I'm here. There should be no kidnap here. He said, yes, that's true. Can you stand up? 2 a.m. Go to this spot in your city. Anoint the ground and make, say what you want to see. It's not everybody God uses like that. Not everybody uses like that. You are a savior. And when you do that insignificant thing and go to sleep, the next person that tries to kidnap, he dies. The second one, he dies. The third one, he dies. The fourth one. Kidnappers leave the place. Because kidnappers too, they read news. They follow trend. They say, this thing is not good here. Why is it like that? A decree was made. Angels were dispatched. They are watching over it. Anyone that violates it, they do something. So, we have not come to the point of intelligence where we can actually become reasons. Our obedience becomes a reason why God is compelled to step in. You know, when my dad died, we went to the village and there was a prayer we prayed. Anybody? that will revisit wickedness, revisit darkness. Let him go for it. And they thought it was the normal kind of prayer. Then somebody attempted. The place has been quiet for a long time now. The Bible says, and ye shall decree a thing, and it shall be established. So in the next 5 minutes, you are going to decree something. The Lord will hear you. Can you make the decree of the things that you want to begin to see now? A new pattern. A new reality in your ministry. Have you been trusting God for miracles? For signs that will catch the attention of the city? What is it that you have been desiring of the Lord? He said, as you say in my ear, so will I do. Escofela mina curia. Seminai compelesco fila macatabo. Uvai toco semarando. Simo moroco seminaba. Esomina cateboboria. Sica preto. Mande bocora. Sicosqueto mendeli. Jamina itobe rabaski. A basket of pregedalico poco sontoria. Aminia sico, presco for compele. A brisco bella cura mama santeni. As you have spoken in my ears, so will I do. So will I do. So will I do. So will I do. Our nation is in desperate need for saviors. Men that are synchronized with the harmony that is in God. That can move the hand of God. That can provide platforms for God's intervention. Oh, Selimondel. 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 Selimondele, Selimondele, Yeko come me salaboboria, Yeko Kosima. 2022 will not be empty for me. It will not be empty. It will not be like other years. I rise as a watchman. I stand upon my tower. I stand in my place. I stand in my jurisdiction. Sabokore Masile, Rescobo Conte Babialato, Eskimo Mosanteli, Esamole Kenya, Ekeno Morocos Kenya. Yabela Sobre, salvation will come through your prayer, intervention will come through your intercession. The entire landscape will change. Because you can. Oh, see, Alebobo. Yala, la, 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 la. Selimo Cobre. La Copeta Mantelia. Eka Besula. Eka Mantele. Eka Sopantala. Eka Mantala Baboria. Eka Seminate. Eka Branda Bacote Babatua. Abre Sopa. Yala, la, 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 la. Yeah, la 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 la. Esora bakwala, esamina itete, eleto kopo, ebrante skubila batalia, ikabre skubila, asa la 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 basuke, grantelu, yakalu, yekalu, 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 yakababobo, esobo kontela. Abra bakanda baboria, alaba la shika mantala, yesoso baboria, abres komila. The Lord makes your hands strong.
Your prayers will become an excuse for him to step in. This year will not be empty. It will not be empty. It will be shaped by your voice. It will be shaped by your prayer. It will be shaped by your intervention. Lava Sekila Matalia. La 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 la. Reta Kabela Konda. Alias Kopeta. Yes, you'll be victorious. You will be victorious. The things that you are afraid of will become afraid of you. And here come the line. Elalaila. Elalaila. And Pele Konde. And Amanda Ele. And Amanda Ele. Yatete. Woteke. Abamate. Yeteke Pro. Yes, Samatande. Yes, Samatande. The Lord will increase your rank in your city. No weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. For there is no enchantment against Jacob. Neither is there any divination against Israel. It will not work this time. It will not work this time. Oh, Lavo Sametania, Asa Saberete, Rakabo Tabua, Abuala, Abalatua, and Rakatema Bolakatawa, Usa Sasa, Usa Saseli Bakande, Alakwata Regate, Alakwata Bratababo, Alakwata Bratabakana, Alakwata. In Jesus' name. I see a strange sign in the spirit realm. Now listen to me very carefully. This is very serious. Somebody here, someone died in your family and the person was properly buried. But members of the family have been seeing that person in their dreams consistently. That one person. This person will see the person, this person will see the person. This person. So, where are you? I want to stop that thing now. Can you bring that lady for me? The power of necromancy. There are manipulations of diverse kinds taking place. But we'll bring it to an end. Bring her up here. We'll bring it to an end right now. Bring it to an end. The priesthood of darkness, the priesthood of the enemy, we'll bring it to an end. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we command the confusion to come to an end. We disarm necromancy. We disarm it. We disarm necromancy. All right, we'll do it this way, okay? I will pray. And when I pray, the hand of God will come on two people. And when that happens, then it's a sign that God has answered my prayer. Father, we put an end to the priesthood of necromancy. Amen. That is plaguing these people. We put an end to the priesthood of necromancy that is plaguing these people. And Lord, if you have heard my prayer, and you have answered. Show me a sign. Let your anointing descend upon two of these ones as a sign that you have answered me. Let your hand be stretched forth and let the anointing descend on two of them. dwells in the midst of the cherubims, shine forth. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubims, shine forth.
Ah.
He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth.
Imama ya tomina selimo.
He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim,
shine forth.
Now listen. I just saw the priest now. So I want to send him a message. Father, this one that has been manipulating families, operating with a familiar spirit, bringing terror to people through dreams and all of that, I stop him. There's one of you, there's a strong spell upon you already, but you will feel it go. I say, I stop him.
Amen.
Oh my God. And every yoke by which he functions, we render it null and void in the name of Jesus. Be free. Be free. Enter into the fullness of that which God has ordained. Let nothing hinder you. In the name of Jesus. You see, the angel of the Lord just came now. So he will pass over all of you. He will pass. He will pass all over. You will feel him. You will sense him. When he's coming, you will sense him. You will sense him. You will sense him. You will sense him. As he passes, you will sense him. He's removing that crown so that you are no longer accessible. Oh, my God. You are no longer accessible. You are no longer accessible. Yes, a new day I proclaim. A new day begins in your life, and I proclaim it in the name of Jesus. Power of necromancy is hereby shut down. You will see the effect of this prayer. You are released.